Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon or Rassilon. Today we're going to be talking about the fifth serial of the eighth season of Doctor Who.
Yes. How is it pronounced?
The diamonds.
Okay, it's definitely not the diamonds.
The diamonds?
That's definitely not...
Hand over the diamonds!
That's definitely not on the table as a possible pronunciation.
The Matty Damons.
To be fair, the serial doesn't seem to agree with itself.
It's not committed, no.
Yeah, some people say Damons, some people say Demons.
And some people say Diamonds.
No one says that.
I do.
Shine bright like a diamond.
It consists of 5 episodes that aired from May 22nd, 1971 to June 19th, 1971. And I'd like to give a special shout out to Matt Golden.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
Thank you for getting us these episodes. You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. And hey, can we get a live one?
Joe Fax!
Yay! As evidenced by that live one, we have a special guest. It's Christopher, middle name Jerry.
Oh man, that was a good one. I feel like there's not much Joe Fax left in the Joe Fax. And also, part of the Joe Fax is the fact that Matt Golden gave you the episode. I mean, I guess that's technically a fact. So the point is that whenever my voice comes on and says, Joe Fax, I'm always surprised. I'm always like, oh, I guess those were the Joe Fax.
Just the Joe Fax, man. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
There was a tone in your voice as if I wasn't addressing you, when at no point was I like, hey, how are you doing, Joe? And I feel as if I was looking at the both of you.
We're the collective you.
I don't appreciate the, like, sort of exclusionary things that you're putting on me.
I think that's fair.
I take it back.
Okay, Tony, since you feel excluded, you know what I think it's time for?
What?
Laundry update! Day.
Okay, here's the thing. I put time aside of, like, I'm gonna do the laundry thing so that the next laundry update I can come back and be like, guess what? I put so much laundry away, and I did! I did do that!
Four shirts, for sure.
I emptied out an entire laundry basket and put it all away, and then you did the laundry again! So it's full again! And I'm, like, really annoyed about it.
You know it's like a recurring thing, right? It's not just like you put your laundry away once
for
and you're
long?
Done. Life.
Till I die?
I am with Tony. I am so bad at the concept of maintenance. Just the fundamental concept of things that you have to do regularly and you never can stop because they're never over. And my brain hates that.
It's the worst.
In my brain, every activity has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you fix things when they're broken. You change things when they need changing. And the idea of, oh, you gotta do this every week or else it breaks, is foreign to me, and just my brain hates it.
I feel that way about work. I'm at work, and I'm like, well, this will be over soon, right? Oh, no, wait, this is just an ongoing thing. It doesn't end unless you get fired or quit.
Or capitalism is overthrown.
One of the three. Or I die. one of the four.
All right. So four options.
Let me start over. Let me come in again.
At this rate, when will it be over? Life is just a constant cycle.
I think the laundry bet will be over when you have completely cleared and put away all of your laundry.
Right, but once I do that, you'll just do laundry again.
Yes, but once it's been cleared completely one time, the laundry bet is over, and then you can do what you want, and I'll stop bugging you about it.
Question about this, though. What bearing does future master appearances have on this? I was curious about this. At what point did you guys really realize that, oh, he's in everyone?
This episode?
Actually, okay, to be honest, it's when we accidentally started watching the second episode instead of the first episode.
It was the serial. Because I for real kept thinking, they're going to at least do an episode without him.
But my favorite thing about that is the thought that, okay, we're going to do a whole season where he shows up all the time, and then the big finale, no. Like, what kind of crazy upside-down structure is that? To be fair, though, I've noticed that, like, Doctor Who has kind of a weird structure season-wise.
I'm not aware at all, like, when a season has, like, began and ended.
That's fair. And I noticed that it was a thing, especially, like, in 1 and 2, where, like, the thing that would feel like the season finale would be the second-to-last serial. The second-to-last serial would be the one where the big companion would leave, or, like, the Doctor would change or something, and there would be a one serial setting up the status quo for next season.
Like, what was it? Like, Dalek Invasion of Earth was, like, second episode of the season, I want to say? And that's, like, Susan leaving. The Chase was, like, mid-season. Evil of the Daleks, it was the first finale that actually felt like a finale. And then the War Games really felt like a finale.
Question. Do you think he's going to be in the next one? Because, again, I feel like after a while, I feel like once he shows up in Claws of Axos, you're like, okay, he's going to be in every one. That's the thing that we're doing.
See, I feel like they're probably going to take a break from him next serial.
I've been wrong so far. That's what I thought. This is how I'm in my current situation, so...
I think this was a one-season thing where he's in every episode. I don't think they can do it every serial.
If he was just in every serial of the Third Doctor from, like, on, that would be not tenable.
But he has just been arrested. That's a new... situation. That's a new dynamic.
He could be fucking Hannibal Lectering it next season.
I think he's not gonna be in it.
I think he's gonna be in it till I die like laundry.
So, what are the stakes?
If I'm right, stays as is. If Tony's right, then I will have to put away her laundry. I will take over
that. That's just the same bet again.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, it's a continuation of the bet, frankly. Its question is, basically, that's what I was saying. Does the bet continue forever like laundry?
It doesn't matter, because there's never going to be a point where I am done putting away the laundry.
It's terrible. No, I agree. It's awful. You know what the worst part is? When you go and do laundry, you're wearing clothes.
Oh my god, I hate it.
You're wearing laundry.
Maybe you are. I just do it nude.
Yeah, the ultimate is being able to do laundry completely naked.
Yeah, but you don't want to
accidentally... Then for at least that day, you're like, I'm done.
You don't accidentally want to get bleach on your dick, though.
What?
I feel like that would be bad.
First of all, you've never used bleach in your life.
That's true.
I think now, once we started talking about bleach on penises, I think it's a good time to get into the serial proper.
But yeah. That's been a laundry update.
That was your pre-show banter. You're welcome.
10 minutes on laundry. That's what people come for. All right, so let's talk about the diamonds episode.
You're saying diamonds. You know diamonds! That, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's saying diamonds.
The diamonds, right?
The demons.
I feel like the alien race that is in this serial is the Daemons from planet Deimos. However, the role that they serve on Earth, the sort of superstitious cultural thing, is demon.
I feel good about that.
This serial, in a lot of ways, is about semantics. It's about a lot of things.
Where does the diamonds fit into this?
They don't. And so, basically, Daemon is science, demon is magic.
So, episode one, which you have titled...
The Devil's Hump.
Don't laugh at that! Jesus.
You have to understand, halfway through my notes for episode one is, OMG, Devil's Hump. Under that, I have written, his hump, his deadly demon lump.
That is beautiful.
Check it out.
Is that an original song?
Yes, it's a remix.
Very clever. So.
What happens in this episode, Joe?
That's about it. There's a hump.
There's a hump. It belongs to the devil.
Also, just even, like, the name Devil's End is also just a little.
Not to mention the fact that there is a road sign that points towards Devil's End, and there's another sign that points to Satan's Hall.
But just Devil's End is just one step away from Satan's Butt.
Which is the devil's hump, right? It's all circular. It's like the difference between demon and daemon.
Right.
Right?
I swear we're never going to start talking about this episode.
We have. We are talking about the devil's posterior.
I'm looking at your notes and it just says exposition scene I missed. I'm so glad you made a note of that.
I had planned to go back and watch it again to see what I missed, and then I didn't. Okay, but let's start from the beginning. Atmosphere.
There's an exposition scene that Joe saw none of.
That's not at the beginning, though. The beginning is just atmosphere, not exposition. It's thunder. There's a
spooky,
storm.
You guys.
There's a cat. There's a dog. There's rain. There's a guy walking the dog in the rain.
So much stock footage.
You know, castles and lightning.
Ooh. And then we get my favorite character.
Well, there's a guy who screams. The guy who's walking the dog. And then we cut to your favorite character, who is saying, "This man died of fright."
So many people in Doctor Who die of fright. It is like the leading cause of death amongst people in Doctor Who, behind like Daleks and heart disease.
Alternate title for this episode, Fright Night. This character who is talking about this guy dying of fright is Hawthorne.
She's a witch. She knows that he died of fright because she did the runes. That's what she says.
She did.
I love her so much.
Hawthorne is amazing. She is like the best character in this serial. She is so good.
And she has the hots for Benton. She chases him down. Not yet, but eventually. And then there's an exposition scene I missed, which I think was setting up that they were filming something at this cave.
They're going to dig into the hump.
Excavation?
Yeah.
They're just going to put their hands all the way into that.
It's like, this is the devil's hump. It's like full of that good shit that we've never looked into before. And we're going to do it. And we're going to do it right now.
On BBC Three, by the way.
Oh, do you want to say the thing about BBC Three?
Sure. This was written before there was a BBC Three.
Because it's supposed to be the future?
Because it's supposed to be the future, right.
Just so. A little bit in the future. Because they're like, yeah, that's it'll about how long it'll take for there to be a BBC Three.
There wasn't a BBC Three until, I think it was 2003, something like that. I looked it up. It's like either the late 90s or the early 2000s.
That's going to fuck even more with unit dating.
And to top it off, there is no longer a BBC Three.
Didn't last very long.
The most recent airing of this serial was on BBC Four.
That's beautiful.
And that was another
Joe Facts!
Yes. It always excites me when you do it live. We go to, I don't know, is it Unit? It's just a random garage somewhere. Is this the Unit garage?
Yeah, probably.
The doctor is tinkering with Bessie while Joe is talking about the dawning of the Age of Aquarius. And she does a whole musical number about it. It was a very hairy performance.
Nope.
Watching this serial again, for the most part, I liked it more than I ever have. And I like the serial a lot. But there's one thing about listening to this podcast that was thrown into much sharper relief than I ever really noticed before. Which is, the doctor is the meanest to Joe in this serial.
He is!
He is vicious to Joe in this serial all the time. He's constantly belittling her. Other people too, but mostly the doctor is just calling her stupid and like saying that the things that she believes in are stupid and like that she's a bad scientist and all of this stuff. Like, really obnoxious. Half of my notes are just me yelling at the doctor to stop being mean to Joe.
The thing that really drives me crazy is like, what this scene is Joe being like, hey, what about, you know, magic and stuff? And the doctor being like, you're dumb, I'm a scientist. And then, like, what this episode is about is, like, really advanced. And they have this conversation right here. She's like, well, you know, if science is so advanced that no one knows, you know, what it is, then it's basically magic. And he's like, no, you're dumb. And then this whole episode is about a fucking alien race who's so advanced that their science is basically magic. And the doctor's like, yeah, because it's science. And I was like, what? You're just being a dick about this exact same thing.
It's almost an arc. Like, he has a line at the end that makes it seem like he's learned something. It's not quite there. It's like I said earlier, so much of this serial is an argument over semantics about what to call things in a way that kind of doesn't matter. There's a point later on where the doctor and Hawthorne are just like, literally just yell at each other, science, magic, science, magic. It's, like, ridiculous. And, like, so much of it is just, like, a debate on what we call things. It's kind of silly that we call these things different things, and we can have different names for things, and the same thing can mean different things in different cultural contexts.
But to prove his point, he makes Bessie drive by itself with a remote control.
He sort of, like, talks to Bessie, too. How dare you go gallivanting off like that? And then he goes, huh, huh. And I'm like, uh-oh, do we have a sidekick car coming up? But no, yeah, he pulls out a remote control. I was watching again. You can see him slide the remote control into his pocket.
Ooh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And then he explains it to both Joe and Yates. They're really trying to make Yates a thing now.
Joe really is trying to make Yates a thing.
I think they're trying to make Yates and Joe a thing. I don't know if I like it.
I don't remember how much Yates and Joe is a thing. They're definitely trying to make Yates a thing. I think they're trying to make Yates the sort of Ian.
Can I be honest? I can't tell Yates and Benton apart. I almost actually just said Yates and Bates. I can't tell Yates and Bates apart.
Ben's a little older.
Yeah, Ben's older. He's got a rounder face. If there's a unit soldier on my screen and I'm like, oh, hey, it's Benton. And if it's a unit soldier that's on my screen, I'm like, oh, okay, it's Yates.
Got it. Okay. Because it's not that I can't tell them apart. It's that once they're in the story, I can't remember which one is which. Like, I can't hold them in my head, sort of thing. Mm. If they're both on screen at the same time, I'm like, that's clearly two different people. But if one of them's on screen, I'm like, that's one of the unit guys.
They don't serve distinct enough story functions. And neither of their personalities are distinct enough that they have, like, sort of defining characteristics that you need to know them as distinct people.
I would say Benton's more puppy dogish, and Yates is more inexperienced.
Okay.
But he's also a little more headstrong. Again, he's kind of...
brasher. Yates is the brash young David, and Benton's just cute. Where are we at?
Right in the very fucking beginning, Joe.
They're filming this excavation, and Unit is watching it on TV. And again, I just want to point out, they have so many phones. Why do they have so many phones?
Because it's the future.
Can't they have, like, multiple lines?
Not that far in the future.
Let me put you on hold in line two. Did that not exist? They just have to have extra phones?
You know how, like, in the White House, there's a special phone that's the red phone?
No, I've never been.
I think that they thought that, like, in the future, we would take that concept and run with it. And they weren't totally wrong. Like, we all have our own personal phone now. Everyone, like, has a phone that applies to them and only them. They just didn't never... caught, like, the portability thing.
So, what they're watching is this guy, the guy who's digging into the cave. His name is Horner, and he's amazing. I really like him. He just does not give a shit about anybody or anything. He's, like, digging into it, and he's like, this is the something or other, and they're like, do you care to elaborate on that? And he just goes, nope, and continues digging.
The reporter keeps trying to, like, give him to, like, for the viewers, and he's like, I don't care.
Let me explain what he just said. Nope, there's treasure in here. That's all you need to know.
Don't worry about it.
But the thing is that, like, he still kind of gives a shit. Like, the weird thing is that, like, he knows what he's doing is really cool, but, like, doesn't want there to be any pomp and circumstance about it. He's like your weird uncle that's like, hey, want to see a dead rabbit?
Wait, I'm sorry.
Come around back. I'm gonna shoot you a rabbit.
I feel like I need details on your uncle, because you just set forth a situation that I think you thought was pretty universal. And
no,
I have
it.
To say that it was not.
No, Joe gets it. Maybe it's a southern thing.
It must be.
I think it is.
Do y'all have uncles that shot things?
Probably.
And wanted to show them to you?
I have an uncle that sells guns on Facebook.
That's the most American thing I've ever fucking heard.
It's awful.
I don't know. And be like, hey, you want to see how to skin a deer? Stuff like that. I said no.
Yeah, the idea of, like, this stuff is, like, really cool, but I'm just gonna, like, not gonna, like, take it too seriously. It's just, here's some cool shit. And this is what this guy is. He's like, I don't really give a shit about, like, TV. Because he's still, like, playing to the camera a bit. He's like, yeah, you're going to see this thing. It's going to be sweet.
He has a thing where he's like, I'm going to do it at exactly midnight. And he's like, why? And he's like, because I got a book coming out.
It's a publicity gimmick.
But he says that on TV. He's, like, playing it up, but at the same time, like, it's whatever.
You could say he has a devil-may-care attitude.
Do you know what we haven't talked about? Do you know what we haven't talked about?
That great joke I just made? What?
No. When this episode takes place.
Oh, god damn it.
It takes place on my birthday. That's really important. Beltane.
Your birthday is Beltane?
It is.
I guess I never put that together, which is so weird, Because normally I've got my Beltane tree out.
Do you just have a maypole in your apartment?
I really wanted to do this one. But at the same time, I wonder if, like, Ben Patton might have been useful. Just so you had, like, a British person that can talk about, like, British maypoles and shit. Because this is a very British Doctor Who serial. It's one of the most British Doctor Who serials that I've ever seen.
I feel like it's the beginning of... I know it's not a Christmas episode, but it feels like a Christmas episode.
It's definitely, like, bigger and broader.
Like an RTD, like, New Who Christmas episode. Of sort of taking, like, sort of the holiday.
Like, what if
shit.
The holiday killed you?
Yes.
What if Santa was a robot?
What if Morris dancers want to beat the shit out of you?
Yeah.
Exactly.
We should talk about the plot, seriously.
I'm trying so hard. But also, this takes place on my birthday.
Which, the last, was it the last serial?
The last serial took place on your birthday.
Yeah. It did. I mean, around about. It was March 3rd.
It was March 3rd. That's some point of it took place on March 4th.
Which is my birthday, so.
We have a set of birthday serials.
It's like our birthdays are really close to each other. Even though that was, like, in the future and this
oh my
one's
God,
present
this,
day.
Oh my God.
But whatever.
We
hey.
Need to talk about this episode.
So let's, what, when's your birthday, Chris?
My birthday is private.
Okay, but can you give us a hint? What Doctor Who serial takes place on your birthday?
We do not have the time for me to figure that out.
Hawthorne comes by the cave to protest. She's a white witch, and she thinks that this is bad. Don't open it. It's bad. And the Doctor agrees. He's watching it, and he's like, she's right, and leaves to go also try to stop it, I guess. Because that's just a woman. They need a man to come say no, and then they'll listen to him.
That's probably true.
We get a scene at a bar where people are debating whether or not it's evil or not.
Yeah, like it's a fun time where they're like, ah, you guys are superstitious. And other people are like, no way, that's some devil shit. They shouldn't be fucking with it.
It's the hump, Walt.
This whole serial is about, like, sort of, again, I feel like it's about, like, kind of village, small town people. It's, like, this kind of weird sort of examination and, like, celebration of, like, common folk. And what I like about it, actually, is that everyone's very human in this serial. Like, there's a bit later where, like, Benton and Yates aren't even watching the thing open because they're watching the game. Or, like, the Brig gets a call, like, that the Doctor and people are up to tricks, and you see him in bed. Everyone's very human in this serial. It never lets you forget that people are people who have, like, feelings and have to sleep. Or, you know, have weird superstitions and things like that. And that's kind of what I really like about it.
Wait, I have a question, though. Where did the Brig go? He leaves, and he's wearing something very fancy, and I
missed... He's going
to some
sort of fancy event.
And, like, the next time you see him, he is in bed. And I was like, what happened? Where did...
I think he went to, like, a party or something. That was the impression I got.
I missed it, and was like, I don't know, but I like his sweet outfit.
He went to the opera. It's okay. Not overall important. This next scene is really cool. I'm now thinking back on it. And I don't understand it at all. So the witch is going home or something, and she gets attacked by the wind, and...
Oh, she calms it down.
And then, like, this policeman is, like, possessed and is, like, got a rock and is going to bash her over the head with it, but she says some magic words and it stops, and he puts the rock down. He's like, oh, I feel very confused about what happened.
The master is trying to stop her.
Was that the master?
Yeah, that's what the master does.
Yeah, throughout the serial, the master is, like... calling on fucking demon powers or daemon powers to do shit. Like, yeah, no, he's like all up to tricks.
Okay, so the wind in the possession was him.
Yes. No, he controls the wind. We see him do it very explicitly later. Including a little bit later when one of my favorite, like, fucking, like, cartoon shit that happens in this serial is when the wind, like, blows the fucking road sign.
Yes. That's what happens next, yeah.
Yeah, Joe and the Doctor lost.
You should never design a road sign that can be so easily just flipped around.
It reminds me of that Vine we just watched where the sign guy is, like, spinning
Quiznos?
For Quiznos, and he's spinning the sign, and then the person filming is just like, I don't know where the Quiznos is.
I don't even know where the Quiznos is.
I think that's the sign that says Satan Hall on it as well.
Yes.
But Hawthorne goes to see the vicar. Oh, she wants to specifically see the one who has mysteriously disappeared. But since she can't see him, she'll settle for the new vicar, who, surprise, surprise...
Guys, you'll never guess who it is.
The Magister.
It's the Master.
Some pretty classy specs, too.
He pulls that look off.
He looks good. There's this very sort of British thing. This serial wouldn't make sense in America. Because, like, the idea of just, like... a witch going up to, like, the local, like, church and being like, hi, I'm a witch. I want to talk to the head of your, like, little church here because we got to fight some evil. That's such a British idea. It's this weird sort of mix of, like, Protestantism and Christianity and, like, sort of Celtic religion. And that's, like, May Day and Maypoles and all that shit. It's this weird kind of mix of paganism and Christianity that kind of just exists here.
Yeah, because I did think that scene was odd.
You know, I just accepted it.
In the Catholic Church.
I just accepted it. I don't know what that says about me.
Catholicism, if you're like a witch, you're probably going to hell. So, I mean, I don't think that. I have friends who are witches.
Like, I always thought this was a really goofy serial, but you could write, like, a whole fucking term paper about all this sort of, like, religion and cultural shit that's happening in this. There's a lot of themes in it.
So, the master tries to hypnotize Hawthorne.
But she's too badass. She's too magic.
It doesn't work, so he sends his lackey to follow her.
Is this the scene where she's like, if you don't, like, show me him, I shall be forced to use violence.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's great. Just the way that she says it is amazing.
I like her a lot. She's fun. So the doctor is super lost. Joe has been looking at the map upside down. Okay, so not only is the doctor memed to her, but I feel like the writers are as well, this serial. She is not written incredibly well, this serial. There's a good handful of times where I'm like, that's dumb. She has been written way more stupid than she's ever been written. This bugged me, and there's another bit towards the end, which I'll just go ahead and say. There's a bit where it's like, basically the doctor's like, you saved the day. And then she just goes, did I? With like this, I don't know, it's the worst line reading ever. Like, she seems like a little kid. And it's just, like, gross and weird, and I don't like it.
It is, yeah. Like, she's not written great in this serial at all. And it seems like it's just there to justify all of these, like, dudes calling her dumb. And it's gross.
So the doctor goes to that bar we mentioned earlier to get directions. And there's a guy there that just, like, compliments the doctor on his wig.
And he assumes he's in a costume. And the doctor is so offended. And to be fair, like, it's awful he's being mean to Joe. But he's being mean to everyone here. He is, like, being so mean to all these people. He's coming in, he's demanding directions, and, like, he's getting offended and haughty, just, like, really annoyed that everyone isn't automatically doing what he says.
He barely thanks the guy who gives him directions.
And Joe has to be like, hey, I'm here and I'm nice. Sorry about him.
So, but there was a guy at the bar who slipped away and warned the master that the doctor is a-coming. And the master's like, ah, well, don't have time for that. Got to put on a nice, cool-looking outfit and do some ritual shit.
It's a pretty sweet outfit.
It's a really good outfit.
And he's doing some rituals, which he just basically throwing this thing in a pot that makes it go, psh, like, flame up.
Which they love.
They love that effect. They do it, like, 9 times.
It's magic.
And he starts saying some magic words, which is Mary Had a Little Lamb backwards. And then somebody else's name backwards. I don't know who that guy was, though. Apparently, it was originally going to be the Lord's Prayer backwards, but that was vetoed.
You might actually summon some shit if you did that.
And then Bessie meets the number one deterrent to Doctor Who vehicles, a fallen tree. Why does that happen so much? I feel like it happens a lot in Doctor Who. People are traveling around and like, oh no, a tree. We'll have to move that tree instead of driving somewhere else. But the Bessie stopped by the tree, so they just get out and run.
Like, the doctor runs, and then Joe, like, falls? And I don't know if it was intentional.
I don't think so. The doctor doesn't care, though.
But, like, I wasn't sure if the point was to separate them, or if it was just Kitty Manning fell on that take, and we're like, oh, well. Like, because it looked real.
It was a good fall if it was fake. But yeah, the doctor does not even, I don't even think he, like, turns around and acknowledges her. He just keeps booking it.
No, he just goes. Because I wasn't sure if the point was to get the doctor into this, like, cave and keep her out of it.
It could be. But, I mean, he was running so far ahead of her anyway that you didn't even need the fall. But
maybe it was just, like, happy accident, literally.
Horner is, like, scraping that the rock and pulling in the stone. And the doctor gets there in time to go, don't! And then it opens. Wind comes out. The master is very pleased by this. There's a statue that moves. It's a statue with its tongue sticking out.
Which, it didn't have to be that way. It really didn't. Let's acknowledge really quickly that there was no reason that this statue had to have its tongue sticking out. And yet it does.
It's more evil that way.
But I feel like it's more silly that way. For, like, a large amount of this serial, this is your main monster.
Oh, it's also very small.
Honestly, the pose that it's sitting in before it becomes, spoiler alert, it comes alive, is like adorable. It's got like its hands on it under its chin, and it's sticking its tongue at you. It's like a fucking like painting of a cherub.
Is it like a high school or like a grade school photo? It's
not the most threatening thing.
That's the end.
Yeah.
Well, we made it through one whole episode.
There's a cave in, though. The cave falls on top of Horner and
the doctor.
So that's in episode one. We're now into episode two, which I have called The Frozen Ox.
We see, I think it's like Yates and Benton watching the game, and they switch to the thing. They're like, oh, it must have happened. And they just see the disaster. They see Joe run up to the doctor and freak out, which like, what? And then the BBC cuts away, like, way too late. What the fuck, BBC? You just like broadcast someone die and then someone else arrive and mourn them. Like, the doctor got better, but they didn't know that was gonna happen.
It's the head of BBC Three, though, and everyone knows that that guy's fictional.
Yeah, that's fair.
But yeah, it is pretty fucked up, though. Like, they just see the briefest clip of just pure chaos, and then like, we'll be right back. We experienced technical difficulties.
But no, it's not that's my point, is it's not the briefest clip. It stays there for, like, a good amount of time. Like, Benton and Yates watch Joe arrive and freak out. Like, and no one's, like, just going, cut the feed.
Well, they might be just in shock, you know?
Maybe they're frozen.
The master welcomes the devil.
I'm still not really over that. Like, there was at some point where we were watching and you were like, what is happening in this episode? And I was like, it's really easy. The master summoning the devil so that he can rule the world. That's it. That's the premise of the serial.
I also want to mention, so in this crypt, I think I read some like weird stuff. They had to like call it like the cave. It was a crypt. It was originally supposed to be in a church. There was a whole lot of changing things to not offend people. God is never mentioned. Satan's okay. But they did not mention God.
What's more offensive about mentioning God than mentioning Satan?
Getting it wrong?
And also just like what they're saying is that Satan is really an alien. And I think what they don't want to say is God is really an alien.
They don't want to say God is science.
You can say all these things aren't really the religious things that they are, even though that's not really what the serial's saying. But, you know, yeah, you can't, like, come out and say, like, yeah, and God's also an alien. That's, like, a bridge too far. You can, like, you can fictionalize Satan and people get sort of offended. But if you fictionalize God and make him small, people really don't like that.
Unless it's on Supernatural and they eat that shit up.
Well, no, I mean, even then. But it's, like, it's sort of telling, like, that there's a show on, like, network TV that's about, like, Lucifer. And, like, I'm sure there's a lot of Christians that are like, but if there was, like, a show on TV where it was, like, God going around solving crimes, like, I feel like that would have been an uproar even much, much more.
Well, I mean, let's see. How long did Joan of Arcadia live? How long did God, the Devil, and Bob live? Not long. Not long at all. I don't even think God, the Devil, and Bob lasted a full season.
No, it did not.
Huh.
Joan of Arcadia might have.
But is she God? Or is she just working?
Well, no, but God's in it.
And it's also easier to fictionalize him if he's, like, nice and sort of vague and whatever. The vaguer, the better. You can make him Morgan Freeman, that's okay.
Just not James Garner. I really liked God, the Devil, and Bob, I'm just saying. Just okay. Putting that out there. I also want to mention, in this crypt, there's a little square thing.
A tile! Some nice mosaic art.
Yeah, it's a really, it's only really
well made.
It's
not nice, it's evil.
But it looks really cool. It looks like something from, like, a poker board game, but, like, enlarged. It's very cool. I liked it a lot. I thought it was a really good design for that specific square.
It looks like some sort of, like, occult, like, kind of esoteric religious, like, shit.
I mean, okay, but it also looks like something I just have in my garden.
Yeah, that too.
If you're growing things evilly. Anyway, The Doctor is Frozen, which is a movie the Doctor has seen, by the way.
If the Doctor froze, could he regenerate?
Like, to death? Yeah. Why not?
If they froze him, like, to the point where his heart stopped and his brain stopped, could he regenerate or is he, like, stuck? Because it seems like a decent way to stop the Doctor, actually.
Well, maybe he'd be, like, stuck in, like, permanent regeneration.
Ooh.
That made me physically nauseous and I don't know, understand why.
It'd be kind of like, you know, the finale of Torchwood. Was it season one or season two?
Oh, where Jack just keeps
dying. He's, like, buried alive for, like, ever and just keeps dying and resurrecting over and over and over again.
I guess it depends on if regeneration is a biological function.
It seems sort of like biotech, kind of.
Does it require him to be alive?
I think it does.
Well, in that case, wouldn't he just regenerate, like, before his heart stops? Like, right before?
Yeah, but if, like, he was unconscious and then you froze him to death.
Then wouldn't he just die?
I don't know. Because you have to be alive, because the Night of the Doctor, he dies before he can regenerate, and so they have to bring him back to life in order for him to regenerate. So, I don't know. I was just wondering that right now.
Joseph, tune in with your answers. I'm just thinking about it. If you know the answer, please write in to us.
Just put that on an envelope, throw it into the wind. It'll find me.
Say a prayer, send it on its way.
There's a thing about Doctor Who is that I really get frustrated with Doctor Who when it knocks the Doctor out. Half, or if not most, of the reason that I'm watching the show is to watch the Doctor run around and do shit, and he's like the one that moves the plot forward a lot of the time. And so, like, lots of times when they've knocked the Doctor out, it means like things have to be put on hold for a while, and it kind of like stops the momentum. So, like, any story where the Doctor's out or unconscious for a significant amount of time, I always find really frustrating.
What about the Christmas invasion?
Hate it.
The only problem I have with it is once he's woken up and just hits that random button on the side of the ship. That's the only problem I have with it.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing. But no, like, I like the last 15 minutes of it when the Doctor's awake, but everything else is like, I don't care.
I feel like I disagree because I frequently don't think that the Doctor is the most important or the most interesting character. At least in parts of the show that I like.
I really like the Doctor as a character. I am watching the show to watch the Doctor do shit.
So fuck the companions?
No, fuck the companions. I like the companions. They're great. But like,
they're companions.
And I like watching them do shit. But like, the thing that I signed up for was to watch the Doctor do shit.
So do you hate Blink?
Blink is the rare exception that is good enough that like, it sort of transcends that.
I also just love in like, especially in classic, where the Doctor is just like, anyway, you guys have an adventure. I'm just going to take a nap. Because I identify with that.
So, the Doctor is dead. But no, wait, he has a pulse. And two heartbeats. So that's interesting. Maybe it's just weird frozen shits making it double up. I don't know. Certainly not that he's an alien. Yates finally gets a hold of Joe, because they've been desperately been trying to get a hold of him. Like, what the fuck is happening? We just saw the TV and it went weird. And then we have, like, they put up a danger sign out front of the cave. This policeman does. So that no one will come in. And he just hammers it up with a rock. They couldn't give the man a hammer.
He made do.
He's there all night. And then we cut to the next day. I don't know why we did this. I don't know why it couldn't have happened all at once. But something gigantic starts moving towards the policeman. And then we get Benton and Yates flying in a helicopter, looking down at giant hoof prints.
They're so big.
I don't know if it was just like the version that I was watching was like low quality. But that was surprisingly effective.
It was. Here's the problem I have with it. They land and they go to check them out close up and they are way smaller.
They are way smaller. But like the original effect is cool. It's like, but yeah.
The scale is off. But like when they're flying up, it's like huge. They're fucking huge. And then when you get down to the ground, they're just huge.
It's like one of those shots from Godzilla, from like a Godzilla movie before Godzilla shows up. When everyone's like, oh man, Godzilla was here.
From above, it's like one of those, it would be like that Godzilla movie where they're standing inside of the paw print and they don't realize it, or the footprint. But then when you get, they land and they get next to it, it's just like the size of a dude. They do say it would be 30 feet tall. And then they're like, well, we need to go. And Benton's like, for breakfast? And Yates is like, to see Joe and the Doctor, you asshole.
No, I'm like, oh,
all right, yeah.
They're like hobbits.
See, that's why I like Benton.
He's got his priorities.
That's my thing, is that, like, again, in this serial, everyone's really human and has very kind of, like, yes, big plot shits are happening, but, like, Benton wants breakfast.
Breakfast is the most important meal of the day, you guys. They land next to the hotel / bar or whatever it is that the Doctor is in, which the helicopter says G-Unit, and then they just, like, stroll out, and then they look really badass. It's pretty cool. It's like a music video.
I like that Unit just has helicopters that they can send out all willy-nilly.
Well, it's the Briggs helicopter.
Oh, yeah, he gets really upset that they took it. That's when the phone call with Brig in the bed happens. And he gets caught up.
That's a great scene. There's a lot of scenes, like, especially with the Brig, but with other people too, where every once in a while, it's someone just summing up the plot in a way that to acknowledge, this is some crazy shit that's happening. It's just the Brig like, and so this happened, and this happened, and they did this? They took my helicopter?
For those listening, Chris has pretended to hold a telephone to his face.
That was important.
So Yates goes to meet Joe while Benton goes to follow the hoof prints. Benton hears a call for help, and he runs into the church, I think?
Yep.
And finds Hawthorne inside a box.
Coffin.
Was it a coffin? I thought it was just a box.
I felt like it was a coffin.
I think it was just a box.
All right.
Why would there be a coffin?
Spooky.
Benton lets her out, and she's immediately like, hey, what's up, man? Want some of this? Wink.
I don't think so.
I think so. They see the guy, I guess, that put her in the box, and they go to hide from him by going further into the church, into the area where the, you know, rituals happen.
Down in the spooky basement.
And they get caught, and Benton has to fight the guy. And it's a pretty good fight scene. Benton's doing all right, but then he walks over the square thing on the floor and starts freaking the fuck out. And that was terrifying. It legitimately upset me. I was like, oh my god, this is scary.
Yeah, it looked very painful.
That was some good acting on his part. I was like, oh shit, please get him off of there. It was, ugh, I didn't like it. That was very effective. My notes from here on out make no sense to me. It says, there's a light and wind. Lackey shoots a gun, disappears, and a tree is on fire. I don't remember what happens, but apparently it's weird.
They're doing a ritual at this point, right? They've got, like, all the cult members in the basement.
Well, no, because that's where Benton and Hawthorne are.
Yeah, but these are the results of the ritual. Basically, magic is happening.
And earthquakes and shit.
Because they're summoning... I'm trying to summon them.
Which is why the tree catches on fire. The doctor wakes up.
And says, Eureka! Which is the second time he said Eureka.
I like that they just sort of put blankets on him.
Is this his Geronimo?
Sure, why not?
And then a random truck explodes, which causes a bit of an error. He crashes into a sign that says that the village is a mile away.
Tony is making faces right now because she really wants to say something.
I know, but I'm finishing my thought because I'm mean.
No, I know. I'm just for our audience. She's really excited about this thing that she's going to say.
But I've got to tell my Joe fact. So there's a sign that says the village is a mile away. Later, we will learn there's this big thing, but it's the village should be 5 miles away, right? 5 or 10. Because it says the dome is like 10 miles in diameter.
This is some scintillating shit, let me tell you.
But I'm just telling you.
What dome? We haven't even said what that was yet. You haven't even explained like a totally necessary bit of information to understand what you're about to say.
All right, that's part one. I'll do part two later. What were you going to say?
Jesus Christ, what a fascinating podcast host you are.
Part one, truck crashes into a sign, catches on fire. That sign says...
Okay, so, like, that scene happens, and we're like, what the fuck was that? Like, why did that truck just explode? But the reason for it's the best reason, there's a heat barrier just in a circle around where all the plot stuff is happening.
There is a heat dome.
Which is apparently 10 miles.
Yes.
And it's centered around the church in the village.
Yes.
So that'd have to be more than a mile.
So the sign was wrong. What a fascinating fact that I'm so glad you shared with us.
Thank you.
Joe fact. Okay.
So there was a heat wave, which is what thawed the doctor, and for some reason did not burn other people up.
But listen, the way that they figure out that there's this heat barrier is just by, like, tossing shit into it. And when they chuck shit into it, it just bursts into flames. And I thought that was great. I was like, that's it. That's where I'd be the rest of the serial. It's just like, hey guys, let's go grab some stuff. Like, what do you think we can throw at this?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would be doing too. Later, Unit spends a lot of time just waiting there. And I guarantee that's what, like, other people were doing. We're just throwing shit at.
Everyone sort of gets, like, reunited. Or the Unit people are inside the dome. And the doctor and Hawthorne and all that. And the doctor has this theory that he won't talk about? He's like, I know what's going on. They're like, what's going on? He's like, I'm not gonna say until I'm 100% sure, because I don't really know at all. I just woke up.
Because, like, the doctor's need to look smart is more important than his need to actually help people.
Than making sure the people around him are well informed about the dangers that are going to most definitely affect them.
But Hawthorne says that she saw the devil, which I guess means she saw the giant 30-foot thing. And also mentions the Magister. And the doctor immediately goes, that's the Master. Just immediately knows it.
Well, yeah, because the Magister means Master.
Joe, did you fail Latin as well as science?
I know, but I mean, like, there could be a Magister that's not the Master.
No.
Also, he has, apparently on his costume, there's, like, words on his costume around his, like, neck area. Symbols. That translated says master.
I hate him so much. What an asshole.
Be like putting, like, question marks all over your...
How much time do you think he spent making that collar special? Just, like, ironing on the little decals. Like, this is hilarious.
The Master cares a lot about appearances.
when the brig shows up and he does, the way they find out that there's a heat barrier, he's like, well, what's over there? And like holds his stick. He's got this stick up and it just catches on fire. He's like, oh shit, what was that?
The face he makes at it while like, well.
The other day at work, we found a stick that looks kind of like that. I don't know why. I think it may have been attached to a cat toy or something. And I've just been walking around with it, pretending to be the brig.
That's the cutest thing ever.
And I'm not explicitly saying to other people that I am being the brig from Doctor Who, but that's what I'm doing.
So the doctor and Joe go to check out the cave. They find the dead cop. It's at this point the doctor is actually not a dick.
Yeah.
For the first time.
For the first time in a long, long time.
Because he's like, I'm going to go in. And Joe's like, do you want me to go in and help you? And he's like, that would actually be very nice.
He was like, I don't see why not. And I was like, well, that makes a drastic departure from the last handful of serials.
It doesn't last long.
So they go in. We see the statue jumping around, like dance walking towards them. But inside the cave, they find, like in the dirt, a small spaceship, but it's super heavy. They can't move it. And then the statue comes in and attacks, I guess. Goes,
again, nothing about its movements, its face, anything about the way that it does what it does is threatening at all.
Joe said that he wanted to cosplay it just so people would be like, why is your weeping angel so ugly?
That's the correct thing to do.
That's a terrible weeping angel. Not scary at all.
So that's the end of episode 2, is the cliffhanger is being raspberried by a demon statue.
By the way, it took me a while to realize that that wasn't Satan. I was like, I thought he was 40 feet tall. What the hell?
No, he's just a lackey for Satan.
I didn't know. It took me a minute.
And now we're into episode 3, which I have two titles for. There's The Lethal Mushroom. Or Blick.
I like Blick.
Which is a play on blink and the fact that its tongue is sticking out.
What's a blick?
Lick. It's like lick. Lick and blink. Blick.
Okay, I take it back. I like the other one better. I liked it better before you explained it.
All right, so it's the lethal mushroom. So the doctor scares it away with iron.
Wait, not just iron, but he says...
He says something which is a Venusian poem.
It's just nonsense. It's a nursery rhyme. Not just like a poem, but like a specifically... for children sort of thing. But that scares it. And like the master's trying to like mind control it, and he's like, I don't know why you're afraid. He's just saying nonsense at you. It's just superstition. And the demon's like, no, it's scary.
I think it translated as close your eyes, my darling. That's what it says in my notes. And then at this point he says it's more that this thing is more real and dangerous than the actual devil. Because it's real.
Not fake, like the devil.
And so now the master is trying to get everyone in town to do his bidding. He's met up with the squire. And is like, let's get everyone together. And we'll make me the leader of this place. And the squire's like, well, I don't know if I want to trust you. And in order to convince him, he just makes it really windy.
No, but what's really weird about this scene is that early on, the master, like, hypnotizes him. Yeah, I am the master, you obey me, yada yada yada. But then he still has to convince him? Like, how good is your hypnotism?
Not that great. It hardly ever works.
Like, it's either infallible or, like, really shitty. Because if we're watching that scene, like, why do you have to prove it to him? You just hypnotized him. Isn't he under your thrall? He's like, yes, I will obey you. But that doesn't make sense.
So, the brig... calls in, says there's a 10-mile circle, they can't go through, they try to go above, they drop something on it from above, and it just explodes, so they can't go in above either, so they're like full-on The Simpson movied.
Or like that dome from Under the Dome.
To a lesser extent, Biodome. I will say, I like the heat barrier. There is one thing I don't like about it, and that's the noise it makes.
It's not a great noise.
Yeah, it sometimes makes the dialogue hard to hear, because it's just, there's an annoying...
Was that annoying?
Under all of it.
Wait, listen, I did not hear that.
You didn't?
No.
There is a constant, like, buzz and hum.
I genuinely don't know what you're talking about.
Audio quality on this show is so iffy, especially if, like, the thing you're watching it on isn't the greatest, that, like, you would be forgiven for thinking it's just, like, bad room tone. No, it's definitely there, but the thing is, it's always there throughout the scene, and I think you just think it's room tone. But, like, it's not, it's meant to be, like... the noise of the dome.
Okay.
I think it's slightly sizzling.
There is definitely a sound effect.
So it's like...
I can't like hear that. You doing that now.
Well, you're wearing headphones, but yeah. There's definitely a noise there.
All right.
And it annoyed me sometimes.
Like, I think it was a good is an interesting idea, but I don't think it was executed very well, just because it's mostly annoying.
Doctor Who loves to go all in on audio effects all the time.
So, the Doctor takes a moment to catch everybody up on demons and daemons and stuff. He has a fucking slideshow prepared?
My favorite thing about the slideshow is that he's like, here's this Egyptian god. It has horns. And here's this god. And they're all like, with horns! And he's like, yeah.
You caught on quicker than I thought.
Like, I still have four more slides of horns.
All right, then. Guess I'll put this away.
Why did he have it in the first place?
How long did it take him to make?
A lot of time.
Where did he get it from? He's trapped in a fucking dome. Was this stuff inside the dome? Did he bring it knowing that this might happen?
Maybe the witch had it. Maybe Hawthorne had it. This is also the scene where magic, science, magic, duck season, rabbit season happens. And it's amazing.
And also where we, for the first time, hear that they are daemons from the planet Deimos, which the Doctor apparently knows about. And he says that they're not actually evil.
They're scientists.
They're scientists experimenting with people.
For aliens that aren't evil, their whole system of existence is pretty explicitly evil.
Also, he explains why the ship shrunk, which was science.
Yeah, science. Science is magic.
There was some sort of, like, expulsion of energy thing, and then that means the ship had to be small. I don't remember. It didn't make a lot of sense.
Because, like, they made the ship small, and that, basically, its mass turned into energy, and that's why, and it made things hot.
That's why there's the heat barrier?
Apparently.
He's also a dick when he's explaining it. They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, I'm talking about E equals MC square, you dumbass! God damn!
There is literally a bit where he's like, it's as simple as Einstein's theory of relativity, you dumb shit. I'm like, I don't think that's as simple as you think it is. Why are you being a dick?
There's like a bit in the scene where like the Doctor is summoning up the daemons and Mike Yates just does this really great eye roll. He's like, yeah, whatever. And it's awesome. Also, one thing question I have about the daemons. Watching this again, I've realized maybe the reason that humanity gets so far in the universe is that it's had like 5 or 6 different alien races helping it do science stuff since the beginning of time. Every 5th Doctor Who serial, there's always like, these aliens have been helping you form since the beginning of time. And it seems like there's like 6 of them. Are they like just running into each other all the time? Were like the daemons there and then like the silence there? And also like there's one from City of Death. It seems like there's a whole bunch of like different aliens that have just been here forever helping us with science. We didn't actually do anything on our own till like 83.
And even then it's questionable. Also, speaking of things being resized, apparently the daemon, I guess the devil one, is now currently too tiny to see. I don't know why that's a thing. I don't know how we know that's a thing. The Doctor says he's very tiny now.
Basically, it's not that the demon has to be summoned necessarily, but like the demon is always tiny, and summoning him means make him big. Through magic.
No science.
The face that Tony is making right now, once I have introduced the concept that he's always tiny.
Why didn't we ever see him in his tiny state?
He's just always...
We do at one point. When he finally shows up at the end, he grows huge.
Yeah, but we don't...
What's he doing when he's small?
He's just hanging out. My thing is that when we eventually see him grow big, he was just there in the room, which means he's just hanging out there the whole time. He's got like a book or something.
A really small book, though. Or he's walking laps to read.
My God. So the brig is like, how do we get through the barriers? I know what we'll do. We'll just shoot it. Literally. He's like, I'm going to shoot it. And the Doctor's like, that is the dumbest idea I have ever heard. And I just said this guy's really tiny. Look. That will only make the thing stronger. You're going to need to build a science.
You're going to have to build one science.
Tell your scientist there to build this science. And that scientist is like, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
That's too much of a science.
The brig and the Doctor are equally and constantly done with each other. The Doctor is always like, oh my God, I can't handle it with you and your shooty shooting. Do a science. And the brig is like, oh my God, I can't handle you with your science. Just let me do some shooty shooty. And that's how they are throughout the serial.
That is the best best breakdown of their relationship I've ever heard. Please just let me do the shooty shooty.
Please don't do the shooty shooty. Let me do a science. But so yeah, they're going, the guy's going to build a science for the, I don't know what the fuck they were talking about. The entire time I was like, I don't know what they're doing.
They're going to shoot electricity through it.
Also, again, just to like keep track of the doctor being mean to Joe. The doctor says like, you're going to shoot it. That's stupid. Don't shoot it. You're an idiot. And then he tells Joe that the brig was going to shoot it. And Joe's like, that's dumb. And he's like, you respect the brig. He's your superior officer. And it's like, you were calling him an asshole a second ago. Calm down.
It's all right when I do it. That's his attitude.
But I'm a man. And also the doctor.
I don't technically work with him. I just sort of hang out. I don't have to respect him.
We mentioned the scientist before. The scientist that's working on the science.
Oh, yeah, Osgood.
His name's Osgood.
We should point out, like, Osgood in New Who is intentionally named after this guy. And I think it's implied that they are related.
So then we get this like really awkward scene. I was like, why is this scene here? Where the barman's like, hey, you guys want anything to drink? You guys good? You want anything? I do anything for you? And then everybody's like, no, thank you. We're very busy. He's like, all right, cool. Just asking. And then he leaves. And I was like, why was this scene here? And that was to further establish that he exists so that he can go tell the master what's going on. So you wouldn't be like, who the fuck is that guy?
It's him trying to excuse himself. It's him, like, saying, is everyone good? Is everyone cool if I leave? Like, you guys need stuff? No, right? It's fine if I leave and go tattle, right? That's cool.
So he does. Which, at this point, the master is giving a speech to all the townspeople. Like, trying to get them on his side by telling them all of their sins.
Yeah, that's a great way to motivate people. It's like, hey, here's all your secrets. Anyway, come follow me.
So yeah,
only works if you tell them your secrets and don't tell everyone else.
Yeah, that is called blackmail. You're doing it wrong. And then he takes it a step further and is like, so join with me and I'll rule over all of you. And they're like, what? No. And he's like, hey, I'm better than all of you, so let me do it. And then they just leave.
Well, that's great. Again, this is this idea of this whole serial is this sort of celebration of like, kind of small town, like British, quaint village British folk and like the common man and stuff like that. This is that scene in the Avengers where like they stand up to Loki. Like that's what this scene is. It's like the sort of triumph of the common man against like tyrants.
That's great and all, but really what it is a scene where the master just fails to give a decent pitch.
No, he's bad at it. He can't like hold it in long enough. It was like, yeah, you guys have whatever you want and I'll get to rule you and it's gonna be so great.
To be fair, did I say that last part out loud? Shit.
To be fair, he pulls it together in the end by summoning up Licky Demon.
Licky Boom Boom Down.
And the Licky Demon disintegrates the squire. Just flat up erases him from existence.
Yeah, because I think the master realized, I don't know why I thought I could use, like, charm. Clearly I'm just going to have to use fear.
And I think it works.
That's more fun for me anyway.
Some guy, I don't even know who it is trying to steal the helicopter. One of the master's bad guys. And Yates and him get into a fight. And he punches this guy in the face multiple times with no reaction. He does not, like, move or blink or anything. So he takes the helicopter.
And then we get a very good chase scene.
Yates is following him on his motorcycle. And the doctor is driving around in Bessie. And the helicopter's swooping in at Bessie. And there's a lot of driving around and flying around. It's really cool.
It's very well shot. Episode 3 was when I really started paying attention to how well directed this serial is. If you go back and look at it, like, it's really well shot. That chase scene is great. But if you just look, all of the frames in the serial are really good. There's a lot of really good images in this serial. All the blocking is really good. There's lots of great shots of, like, the way that the director is using depth. It's really good to, like, have all these different people on these different planes and, like, arranging it's images. It's really well lit.
Shut up.
It's really hard to frame things well in 4:3 so that it looks pretty. But, like, it's really good at that. Like, all the shots of, like, the master in his getup in the fucking church are so well lit. When eventually, after the helicopter chase, when, like, the doctor and the brig finally meet and they're on either side of this fucking heat barrier, it's an amazing shot.
Yeah, it's just a burnt trail.
Exactly. And it's just like, it's like bisecting the screen. And it's just a really cool shot. Like, there's a bit later where, like, they're hiding, Joe and I think it's Yates or, like, or someone is just hiding behind this, like, wheel of spikes. And it's just like the light is hitting their faces. Like, this serial is kind of gorgeous. I mean, for Doctor Who.
So how they got out of the chase scene, they're headed straight for the barrier. The Doctor just turns his wheel really quick to not hit the barrier. Flings Joe out of the car, and the helicopter crashes into the barrier and explodes.
It's at this point that I'd like to remind you that that is the Briggs helicopter.
I'm pretty sure at this point you're like, what kind of budget did they have? They're just exploding a helicopter.
It's the season finale.
That's not why. It was an outtake from a James Bond film. They just had that clip ready.
I mean, yeah, you gotta have it. It works. The Doctor shouts like, Joe, hold on. And like, Joe doesn't hold on and falls out. Because the script thinks that she's dumb. And, like, I have expected the Doctor to be like, oh, you idiot! Why didn't you hold on?
Then the Doctor takes Yates' bike because... I think because Yates takes the car with Joe back to the Doctor.
And also because he looks cooler on a bike.
You were so excited.
No, there's this great shot. Again, the lighting. He's, like, backlit by, like, the sun, and it's, like, magic hour, and he, like, goes off into the distance in his fucking motorcycle, and it's pretty badass looking.
Joe starts having a freak out, much akin to Bill Filer in Claws of Axos.
Must not distribute.
But the Master is doing another ritual. There's another earthquake. Something giant starts threatening the Master, and the Master is, like, falling backwards and like, don't hurt me. The cliffhanger is the Master in peril. I'm pretty sure this is the only time that has ever happened.
It's not the only time the Master has been in peril because of a stupid thing he did. That's pretty standard. But it's not usually the cliffhanger.
That's the thing that's like, oh, how's he gonna get out of this one next week? He's the bad guy! So that's the end of episode 3. We are now into episode 4, which I've called Mayday!
Ooh, ooh, ooh! Do you know what Mayday is?
The 1st of May.
Tell us about Mayday.
Wait. Mayday. I know what it is. It's a cry for help, right?
It's my birthday.
Your birthday is a cry for help?
Yes.
Wait, do you have info on Mayday or did you just want to say that?
I just got excited because I remembered that it was my birthday.
I meant to research Mayday more before the podcast and then I didn't.
Yeah, what's Mayday about?
You know. Summer.
It's about like, I mean, it's like it's summer, it's a fertility festival, it's like, it's pre-Christian, I think it's Celtic.
I think it's Gaelic, right?
Yeah, or maybe it's Gaelic, it might be Gaelic.
It's about fucking? You said fertility.
Yeah, it's about fucking. The 1st of May's always been about fucking.
I mean, spring is about fertility, that's why like, Easter stole all the rabbits and eggs, that's all fertility stuff.
And also, there's a pole with ribbons, I don't know.
Like the ribbons are cum?
Right? Joseph, what?
Is
this? No, I'm just gonna ignore it.
Like, there's a pole and there's streamers coming out of it.
Maybe it's about safe sex because they wrap it up.
Is that an effective form of birth control? Just wrapping something around it?
I mean, no, but they didn't know that.
Also, safe sex is probably the opposite of fertility, right?
I know. Like, you know, but it's like all kinds of stuff.
Sex facts! Okay.
Sex facts!
I don't want to ever hear that again. All of you, shut up. It's my birthday.
Your birthday's the sex day. Got it. The Master tries to ward off this thing coming towards him. Meanwhile, Joe wakes up and it's like she wants to get to the cavern, so she sneaks out through the bedroom window, climbs down on a conveniently placed ladder. And meanwhile, the Doctor is still having a chat with the scientist, Osgood. And he says the thing. He's like, you have to reverse the polarity. Osgood's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I'm pretty sure he never says reverse the polarity of the neutron flow. I don't think that's a thing that's ever actually said. I think that's a beam me up, Scotty. But this is as close as we get.
None of what they're talking about makes any sense to me. I just like, they're sciencing and move on.
No, it's all fucking techno babble.
Then the Brig comes out and is like, just do what the Doctor says. He knows what he's doing. And Osgood's like, all right, fine. And then he turns to the Doctor and he goes, do you know what you're doing? And the Doctor goes, can't wait to find out.
It was delightful.
And then we get our first glimpse, other than hoof prints, of the giant devil, which Tony's like, is that a giant ostrich? We just see like the back of his calves.
They do look a lot like bird feet. That's a really cool shot. It's kind of hampered by the not great green screen.
Do you mean color separation overlay?
We don't say green screen.
I was purposefully avoiding.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm saying CSO now, aren't I? Because yeah. CSO stands for color separation overlay.
It's a little bit hampered by the CSO, but just the, like, framing.
Which stands for color separation overlay.
Like, the Master, like, in the center of the frame, kind of between, like, it's a really well-composed frame.
It looks like all those, like, 80s movies posters where, like, there's a bunch of dudes between the legs of some, like, beach lady.
But just with a little bit of The Exorcist.
It's like the beach party version of The Exorcist. I now want to make a movie called Beach Party Exorcist. Anyway, the devil wants to talk to the doctor because he's like, because the master keeps saying, I'm like the smartest, coolest person around. I deserve to rule these people. And the devil's like, actually, there's another one of you guys here. Maybe I should talk to him. Maybe he'll be better.
Actually, no, he doesn't say that. He says, maybe there's another one of you too here that I can talk to him. He talks like a pro wrestler. He's got this real big sort of like booming thing. And he says something about failure that just sounds ridiculous. And it's like, it's all like one step away from like, I'm gonna take you down in the ring so bad, you're not gonna be able to sleep for 3 weeks. It kind of kills the idea that this is a massively intelligent scientist.
Scientists can be like wrestlers, can't they?
I mean, they can.
You're saying all wrestlers are dumb? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that they're known for their brawn.
Fair enough. So the master talks him out of it. He's like, just trust me, and does the devil horns at one point.
He does them a lot in the serial. It's great.
And then the devil guy's like, all right, fair, but beware me. Remember Atlantis. He takes credit for sinking Atlantis. Is this like the second of three times?
I think so. Yeah, there's a lot of different versions of Atlantis in Doctor Who.
Also, this entire scene is the devil yelling at the master. We never see the devil. We see that opening shot between the legs, and the rest is just holding on the master's face. The same reaction shot of him just standing there looking for like 10 minutes. The master's not really doing a whole lot, just listening.
I mean, it's a good shot.
But it goes on too long. And I turned to Tony at the end of it and went, no cuts! Amazing. Yates goes to try and find Jo because she's ran off. Can't find her. And then she just falls out of a bush, passed out. But then she's fine in like the next shot. So I don't know exactly what's happening there. The doctor leaves Osgood and he's like, do the thing. And he's like, this is really difficult. And that's when he says, it's as easy as Einstein's theory of relativity, and drives off. And the brig just goes, some days I wish I was just a banker.
It's a great line. It's the most Brig thing ever. It's like,
if he was a banker, he wouldn't get to do the shooty shooty. But he also just wouldn't know the doctor. So that's probably a fair trade-off.
Do you think there's an AU fic somewhere where the Brig is a banker?
I hope so.
There almost certainly is.
I'm going to Google it as soon as we're done here.
So Joe has sneaked into the evil lair. Gates finds her and says, be careful, there are traps here. And then sets one off, which is just confetti.
Again, he calls her an idiot. Like, she goes in because she's taking initiative and, like, trying to find the truth. It's like, I have to go in and find out what's going on. And he just says, Joe, you're being an idiot, or something along those lines. And then he's like, there's traps here. I'm sure she knows there's, like, you know. It's just like, everyone is shitting on Joe so much in this serial.
But to be fair, there were confetti traps.
I mean, there were.
So, but then they hear someone coming. And there are multiple pillars here to hide behind. Solid, wall-like pillars. And they hide behind the only thing that is see-through. There's a giant wheel with spokes that they hide, I'm doing air quotes, behind.
Hey, for Doctor Who hiding, classic Who hiding, that's pretty good.
There were like 300 other better hiding places.
Okay, but again, I can't stress this enough. It looks really cool.
I was too distracted by how visible they were.
It's such a cool, it's like fucking like German expressionism, Nosferatu shit. It's really cool looking.
It's like hiding behind a curtain when playing hide and seek. And you can just see their feet.
I mean, like, I think the implication is that they're hiding behind the solid part and kind of looking out.
They're not, though. You can see, they showed the shot of them full on, facing forward, and you can see them through the slats.
Yeah, Joe, I think what you're really missing out on is that it looks neat.
I don't care if it looks neat. That's like Michael Bay's entire, like, directing style. I don't give a shit if it makes sense. It looks pretty. Doesn't mean I like it.
Like, again, for Doc Classic Who hiding, this is pretty good.
The thing that bothers me more than that is that Joe is like, oh my god, they're here! It's like, they are not that far from you.
Yeah.
Shut up.
They are also loud. Then we get another chase scene, because the doctor's bike is shot. One of the master's lackeys shoots the bike and chases him down and is shooting at him.
Then the guy goes back and tells the master, he got away. And then the master gets his really great, we're gonna Morris dance the shit out of this guy idea.
Also, Benton is trying to get a hold of anyone and is having difficulty with it. And Hawthorne's like, hey, don't worry about that. Let's just have some tea. It's just me and you. Let's hang out.
I'm going to do my knitting.
Let's just be
buds. You make it sound like it's like a flirting thing.
It 100% is a flirting thing.
But listen, like, the way the scene goes is actually where she's just like, you need to calm down, because, like, worrying isn't going to help you in this situation. Mm-hmm. Either the doctor's going to show up, or he's not. You just need to chill out, because, like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Have some tea.
Yeah, I'm with Tony. Yeah, I think she's just being badass, and you're perceiving her confidence as flirting, like men do.
To be fair, it is a little bit flirting. She asks him to dance at the end. So, anyway. But the brig is annoyed at the noise of the guy working on a thing. And the guy's like, I have to work on the thing. I gotta test the thing and make sure it works. And he's like, well, it's loud. And he's like, I've almost got it finished. I just need to. And then it explodes in his face. And he has, like, the comedically, like, you know, Looney Tunes blast to the face.
Like, soot on his face.
He's like, it'll be another half an hour. Wah, wah.
At least.
And then the dancing happens.
Yeah, this is the RTD, like, holiday attack scene. Further proof of my idea that this is RTD's favorite era of Doctor Who.
It's really weird. Like, there's a parade, and, like, everyone's dancing, and then people, like, pull their children inside. People leave. They, like, don't like it.
Like, the people who are doing the dancing are people that are, like, under the thrall of the Master. Because this is the Master's plan. So I think the people that are pulling their children in are the people that are not cool with the Master.
So, like, okay. Hawthorne is like, oh, look, they're dancing.
Let them do their thing.
Well, Hawthorne isn't up on this Master controlling people shit. She's been hanging out with Benton.
Well, how does everyone else know?
They were at the meeting.
The Master has been working this town the whole time that this other shit's been going on.
I'm following now. I'm on the same page.
Everyone's dancing, and the Doctor starts walking into town, and he is threateningly festived. They're dancing around him. He's like, what? I can't. Can you move? I can't move. Stop. And then do they hit him?
Yeah, they've got sticks.
Yeah, they start beating the shit out of him with the sticks. They get him by the throat with the sticks and drag him to the maypole.
And then they just start tying him to the pole, walking around and around.
Yes.
And start calling him a witch. Which, again, there's this whole sort of, like, thing about the interplay between Christianity and sort of, like, this more kind of earlier pagan stuff. Before the Master, it's kind of more harmonious, and now the Master is, like, stirring up discontent, and, like, now they're sort of in conflict. There's something really weirdly interesting about the Doctor being burned on a maypole as a witch.
Also, Benton gets a fight scene with one of the bad guys as well. The bad guy just starts beating Benton with it. And then Hawthorne is a badass and smacks him over the head with a crystal ball.
It's just in her bag. And she just takes her bag and smacks him over the head with the bag and then pulls the crystal ball out of the bag like...
Don't leave home without it. And then she goes to help the Doctor and says he is the great wizard Queequeg-Quad.
This is a fun scene.
It's a great scene. Hawthorne reminds me of, like, Terry Pratchett's witches. Yeah, and again, it's that sort of, like, down-to-earth, kind of very British... Very, like, common sense attitude.
But she's like, he's the great Queequeg-Quad. With his mind, he'll make that lamp explode. And then it explodes. We see that it's Benton doing it with his gun. And then there's a whole thing about shooting a cock. But basically, he's like, I'll make that thing explode. And then that thing explode. And it's just Benton shooting everything.
Then he's like, now I'll make my car move. And Benton's like, I just got a gun. They cut to him, and he's just like, he pulls his gun down like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do for this one.
Well, it's like this, not the Master, it's like the head guy of this thing, sort of making sure everyone stays in check.
Which he is in, I guess it's a May Day thing that I don't know anything about, but...
No, yeah, that's the traditional, in Morris dancing, there's a guy that's dressed like that.
It's amazing.
Morris dancing is... some weird, goofy shit.
I'm trying to describe it in case you are like me and you don't know anything about it. He's just got newspaper.
It's like a chicken outfit made out of newspaper.
That's pretty accurate.
But without a chicken head.
It's a top hat.
It's just a top hat. Also made out of newspaper, I believe.
And so he's like being threatening and like fighting, and it's a little bit hard to take him seriously because he's just the goofiest out of anyone.
To be fair, for a Doctor Who outfit, that's actually kind of standard. Like, he's not more or less threatening than, like, the demon statue.
Okay, fair enough.
At least he's not sticking his tongue out. But the Doctor's like, you should look behind you. And he's like, I'm not falling for that. I'm not an idiot. And then sort of gets very slowly ran over by Bessie.
So slowly.
Very important. There's one thing you didn't set up. When the Doctor makes Bessie come to him, he tells people that his elemental is driving the car to him.
Yes, that's important for a reason. So it runs this guy over, Ben is like letting the doctor go, and he's like, "Doctor, how did you make that car move by itself?" And he says, "It's elemental, my dear Benton."
No.
The doctor is a huge fucking dork.
Meanwhile, in the ritual lair, the master is going to sacrifice a chicken. Joe is a vegan and is upset by this. She's like, "You can't sacrifice this chicken," and runs out of hiding.
To be honest, when we get to this scene and he pulls up the knife and you see he's got a chicken in his hands, and then in the next, and like, cause he's pulling up the knife, I'm like, "No! What?
Tony, we fucking eat chickens all the time."
I know.
But we're terrible. And then she is immediately punished for it, because the master's like, "Oh my god, this is so much better. I can do a person. Way better than a chicken."
She gets taken away and brought back in this terrible dress.
Like, it's like a Fay Wray outfit, like, from King Kong.
It's, like, it's all white and virginal, and it's the sort of shit that you sacrifice people in.
But what gets me is, like, did he just have that? How'd they know her size?
The master is a guy that spent time tailoring his own outfit so that it says the master on it. He's got a lot of wardrobe. He's like, I'm assuming he's got his own TARDIS around there somewhere, and his wardrobe is much bigger than the doctor's.
His entire TARDIS is just it's a wardrobe.
It's 90% just clothes.
And like beard shaving equipment. Like trimmers and stuff. Then the goat devil starts growing at the end of this episode. And that is the cliffhanger is...
He's big now.
He's big now.
Not the most effective effect, but it gets the job done.
It's very obviously CSO, which if I've not mentioned before, it stands for Color Separation Overlay.
Can I just say, I hate this bit more than most bits, and I hate all of the bits.
Which bit? I'm just explaining to the audience that CSO stands for Color Separation Overlay.
This is why I tell people that I dislike comedy.
It's not really that she dislikes comedy, it's just that she doesn't like you.
Or is it that she doesn't like Color Separation Overlay? No, it's probably me.
I'm with her about this bit. I want it to be very clear.
You also don't agree with the fact that CSO stands for Color Separation Overlay? Because it does, Cherry. CSO does stand for Color Separation Overlay.
It's like you think it's a joke, but it's not.
It's just saying a thing.
The joke is that people find you annoying.
I'm okay with that. It's the cross I have to bear.
I love you.
The Color Separation Overlay cross.
But also, you're the worst.
It's the end of episode 4. We're now into episode 5, the final episode. Also, the last serial to have 5 episodes, I believe. It was a weird thing. It was supposed to be 6 parts, and they shrunk it down to 5 for some reason.
Which I'm pretty much always a fan of.
They shrunk it down, much like a devil.
And this episode I've titled...
I'm really, really fond of the idea that Satan, 1, exists, 2, is always around, but really fucking small. He's just hanging out, but, like, he's not, like, you know, able to do any devil shit. He's too small. What's he do? How's he spending all his time?
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist because he was really tiny.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled on the world was convincing the world that he was taller than, like, 5'7". He's like Tom Cruise that way.
But this episode I've titled The Science of Magic. Or it could be The Magic of Science, whichever way you want to look at it.
Again, it's semantics.
We cut back to the maypole, and it just has everybody standing up. We don't actually see them fall over. We just assume that they have fallen over from the earthquake that has just happened from the devil man getting bigger. I like that. I like that it just cuts back, and it's like everybody just standing up. And we did not see them fall down. We just know. The doctor then tells everyone that he's not actually a witch. He says the master is fake. And then there's this very long scene of him explaining away the magic of science. The master channels emotions, and the witch says that's exactly what black magic is. Then the doctor goes, "No, it isn't. It's science." Which, that's exactly what happens.
To this, like, serial's credit, you don't get the sense that the show necessarily totally agrees with the doctor here. I mean, to some extent it does. Like, the show has always had a very kind of skeptical, like, Scooby-Doo bent. But, like, it doesn't think that Hawthorne is wrong. Like, Hawthorne's making a very compelling argument of, like, well, no, that's what black magic is. Like, it doesn't matter what you call it. We're both doing the same thing here.
Yeah, but the doctor just doubles down. Even though she's like, it's the exact same thing. He's like, no, it's not. It's science.
Yeah, the Doctor refuses to buy into it.
I feel like that's something that's happening a lot in the current season of Doctor Who, of the Doctor just being like, it's magic. It's magic? Well, I mean, it's science, but it's magic.
Yeah, the Doctor has changed to the point where he's like, he's seen enough shit where he's just like, magic is just science we don't know about yet.
So this at this point that Joe is like put in the sacrificial dress and taken to the Master, and Yates has been tied up and just left alone in a room, which means he just gets up and runs out. Still tied up, but he runs out. He tells the Doctor what's going on. So the Doctor calls into unit and says, hurry up with that thing I told you to make. So they proceed to hurry up. Then the statue comes out, kills the paper man. Why does he kill the paper man?
Just hadn't done anything in a while.
The Master is about to sacrifice Joe, and one of the guys holding Joe is just like, hey, maybe this isn't great. Maybe we shouldn't be doing this.
Like, I feel like maybe killing people's wrong?
Murder might be bad, you guys.
That might be one too many for me. Murder. I was fine when it was the chicken.
We were going to eat that chicken, but this is a person?
I have a great recipe.
I kill chickens every day. You gotta eat.
But, like, this, like, she doesn't seem on board with it. Like, I'm assuming the chicken was on board with it. What if, like, this was, like, the first vegan? This guy who is just now putting it together that maybe chickens don't want to be eaten?
So veganism
Wait, what are you saying? Chickens are totally cool with being eaten, right? That's why we eat them. They'd get sad otherwise.
Yeah. For more on this topic, please watch BoJack Horseman.
Yes.
They finally get the divide machine thing working, and they make a tunnel through the heat barrier. Unit does. And it's actually a pretty cool effect.
Yeah,
I like that effect. That's good.
And then once that tunnel appears, Goatman starts...
Why do you call him Goatman when he's just the devil?
Azal.
He'll make fools of Azal. The Azal starts screaming, and then the statue outside stumbles around a bit and is, like, very dizzy. Because apparently busting a hole in this barrier is fucking him up a bit. So, like, the Doctor's like, I gotta go in and take care of this right away. I can't wait around for Unit. The statue tries to follow him and shoot him, but is very dizzy, so...
He's dizzy. The Doctor takes the opportunity to get past the statue.
The Doctor goes in and meets the Master and sees what's going on.
And then some flirting happens.
A little bit.
Some flirting with him and the Doctor?
The only flirting that matters.
You think that's flirting, but you don't think Hawthorne's flirting with Benton? Okay.
I mean, I stand by that.
The Brig arrives, and then... In a continuing theme of throwing rocks and then exploding, Yates throws a rock and the statue explodes. It. Like, shoots his little hand beam at it. And that's when Briggs says his line.
Yeah, chap with the wings there. Five rounds rapid.
So five rounds rapid is a thing.
It's a really famous line that he says, like, and people remember that line. Nick Courtney actually titled his autobiography Five Rounds Rapid.
So it's not a line that gets said more than once? It's just that people like that line?
No, I think he just said it once, but people remember that line. That moment kind of does sum up the Brig. He's just like, hey, it's a weird creature. Let's shoot it.
Was it his, like, daughter or whatever? I don't know, in Nuhu.
Did she say it?
She says it at some point. I think it's, like, the Zygon inversion or something.
Yeah, in the Zygon inversion, yeah.
That line almost got cut. The guy who wrote the script, he cut it out of the script. And then when they were filming, they're like, nah, put that shit back in. That shit's good.
It's a good line.
Yeah. It almost didn't exist. But, you know, it doesn't work. So the Doctor talks to Azal and convinces him to release Joe. And he does. Then the Doctor's like, all right, cool. Can you, like, leave now? Because the machine that caused the tunnel through the barrier exploded. It, like, overloaded. He's like, I got another one of those, and I can really mess you up. The Devil's like, lose! I know there's not. And starts killing the Doctor.
Yeah, doing a kill.
But then I don't remember what happens, but they stop.
Then he gets tired and he stops doing a kill.
Then there's more talking. Unit, meanwhile, is progressed from a gun... they're like, go get the bazooka. Which they do use the bazooka on it. It explodes and then, like, reverse back into a statue.
It does explode kind of spectacularly, though. Like, I remember being very pleased. Like, hell yeah, they exploded the shit out of that.
Yeah, it's a very satisfying explosion. Because for a moment, that it almost plays like that scene in Buffy where they blow up the judge. But then, like, it all comes back together T-1000 style. And it's almost intimidating.
Almost. But the Devil's like, this experiment with people has come to an end. The doctor compares the master to Hitler and Genghis Khan.
Which, like, come on, doctor. Have you ever heard of Godwin's Law?
He just again reiterates, please, just leave humanity alone. Just leave. You say you've done all this thing for humanity, but all you've done is given them bad shit. The devil's like, all right, I am going to pass on my power, which is that's what the master's been asking for this whole time is the power. But he's like, I'm not giving it to the master. I'm giving it to the doctor. And the doctor's like, what the fuck? No. Have you been listening to me?
I do not want that. No, thank you. No. And I think at this point, the master's like really annoyed. Like, I've done all this work to get this thing. You've just been handed it and you don't even want it. What the shit?
I don't want that responsibility.
At which point, the Satan's like, well, I have to give my power to somebody.
Or destroy everything.
Yeah, it seems like a rule that I don't know if was firmly established. Because he's like, well, yeah, but the rules say someone has to take the power. Or I gotta blow everything up. Those are the options.
Yeah, because I think that's what he told everyone back home on Deimos.
Either I'm gonna hand over my power, or someone's gonna blow up.
So he's like, I guess I'll just give it to the master. He decides to kill the doctor. But Joe steps in and defeats the devil with love.
She saved the day with love.
I don't understand.
It doesn't make sense.
He turns pink and he's like, no, does not compute. Ah!
Basically, what they've tried to do is the old computer doesn't understand love because it seems irrational. But he's not a computer. He's literally like saying that doesn't compute. It doesn't fit the data. Like, he's not like a computer. He's a scientist. Like, I get that he's supposed to be like the scientist, even though it's really downplayed. Because, like, yeah, the doctor later is like, he wasn't expecting such an irrational act or whatever.
Why does that make him pink?
It doesn't make sense.
Wouldn't he just go, huh, that's weird. Kill her, then kill the doctor?
I mean, yes.
No, because she defeated Satan with love. Yeah. And when you defeat Satan with love, he turns pink and then explodes. That's just the way the world works, and everyone knows that.
This makes about as much sense as the resolution to the Monks trilogy.
Oh, man.
It's about the same. I would actually argue Joe makes a very, like, not, like, strategic choice. She saves the doctor because the doctor saves the world a lot. Because, frankly, the doctor has done nothing to deserve Joe's love in this serial. There's no reason why Joe should, like, be fucking with any of these people. Because everyone has been calling her an idiot the entire time.
Frankly, she's too good for the entire show.
But her plan works. Her brief moment of trying to save the doctor. The statue turns into a statue again. And they tap it on the head. Then the church explodes.
The whole church.
Everyone runs out and the church explodes. Which apparently was so realistic that the BBC got complaints for having blown up a church.
That's great.
And they're like, it's a model, you guys. Benton captures the master. And then there's another explosion, which is apparently the ship. Just everything explodes, you guys. The tiny ship from the cave exploded. And then while Benton is looking away, the master throws his cape over Benton and runs away.
And, like, it works?
Benton just falls to the ground. He doesn't even, like, just stand there and, like, pull the cape off. He falls to the ground. It's just a cape.
I think units like birds like that.
He just falls asleep. Yeah. Boom. He's out.
He's like, oh my god, it's night now.
That's why they don't hide anywhere. Good. Because if they did, they'd just go to sleep.
They fall asleep.
But he tries to get away in Bessie, but of course the doctor has
the remote.
And he gets very angry when they start shooting at the master. It's like, no, don't shoot. You'll damage Bessie.
I've got a better plan, you idiots.
Science.
They do. They arrest the master and he gets taken away and driven through the center of town where everyone is booing him.
Which is kind of satisfying.
But it lasts a long time.
I just imagined him, like, flipping everyone off as he drove through. Fuck all y'alls!
I, at this point, was just really relieved. Because, like, I didn't realize it. But the master's been making me so tired. I'm like, thank God. They've got him. Because, like, someone needs to stop him for his own good, even.
He's making me do so much laundry. But then the birds come back. And Hawthorne's very pleased and happy. And that's when she's like, hey, Benton, you want to go for a dance? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
All right, you're right. This scene does happen. The scene is very flirty.
Thank you. And then Joe goes to dance with the doctor. And then it's just like Yates and Brig. And then he's like, so, Brig, wink.
You want to dance?
And he's like, I just want to go get drunk.
And he does. He walks off in the direction towards the pub.
And then the doctor says something along the lines of, like, maybe there is magic after all. And everyone dances around the maypole.
There's something really delightful about this ending to, like, when it was over, I was like, yeah, magic, it's May Day, yeah!
I don't know why, but I immediately thought of that, the ending of that Parks and Rec episode where they put on the fair.
Yeah, and it pulls back.
Everything should always end with just people having fun.
It's a really lovely little ending. And again, sort of the celebration of just, like, common folk dancing around the maypole and, like, everyone's just having fun.
It's a good time. And I'm pumped.
Yeah, everyone gets to be, like, really human and happy.
And the master's been arrested.
No, this is the bit we sort of, I talked about earlier. This is where that sort of happens, where the doctor explains that Joe defeated the bad guy. And she's like, I did? He's like, yeah, it's with love. Oh.
Well, they don't ever actually say love. They're like, yeah. You were so irrational that you defeated the bad guy. They're not like, your sacrifice for me was so pure and so loving that you defeated evil. It was like, you made such a bad choice, you confused him out of existence.
Yep. And that's the end of that season. The ending does feel like a season finale ending.
But yeah, that's the end of it. We're going to take a quick break.
And then we'll be right back.
For final thoughts. Stick around.
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
We're here to tell you about our podcast, The Earth Station DCU. Join us every week as we discuss the DC Universe.
We talk everything DC, including comics, television, the cinematic universe, and so much more.
We look forward to bringing you some great reviews and discussions.
And don't forget,
read more comics.
We're back!
And now it is time for
Final Thoughts!
Live one.
I really like the serial a lot. Like, watching this serial again this time, this is maybe, like, the third or fourth time I've seen it. I always thought it was, like, a really fun serial. But, like, again, this time, like, other than just everyone hating Joe, like, being mean to Joe, which I did not care for. Like, I was just really struck by, like, again, there's all these, like, interesting themes happening in it. And, like, it's so well shot. It's a very successful, like, serial. And it's really funny. And it's, like, got a lot of interesting action stuff. And it's just really cool. I like it a lot. The Third Doctor era is, like, an era that I, like, watch less often. When you guys ask me which ones that I wanted to do, I kind of just picked the best ones. The ones that I remember is, like, being the best. And, like, the ones that were sort of regarded as, like, Inferno. I think Inferno and the Daemons are, like, probably the most highly regarded three serials.
Yeah.
It's all downhill from here, baby.
Well, the Daemons is one of them that when you said it was next, I was like, oh, I've heard of that one before. And a lot of the episode, like, you'll say an episode title and I'll be like, great, I know nothing about that. I had heard this title before and knew that, like, it was a good one. That it was one that people enjoyed. With, you know, my limited Doctor Who knowledge, it was one that had come up.
Yeah, again, it's a lot of stuff that people remember. Like, yeah, like, people remember the Briggs saying five rounds rapid. They remember Verus the Polarity. Like, I think people remember the ending. I think it's, like, one that sort of seeped into sort of people's awareness of the show.
It's also the first one to be shown in a omnibus edition. They did a repeat of it, where they just made it all one big thing. This is, like, way before PBS and everything. It's, like, they just did. And that had, like, the higher ratings than when they originally aired it.
Oh, really?
Just full of Joe Facts.
Yeah. Joe Facts!
So, things about this episode. It takes place on my birthday.
God damn it.
This is my birthday episode, which is great, because it's a great episode. I get to claim a really good one.
I had Colony in Space. Jesus.
Yeah, mine's way better. I really, really can't get over the fact that, like, this is just a serial about the Master summoning the devil. That's what it's about. That's what we're doing here. It has all of the trappings of something where you'd expect someone summons the devil. And there's just very little... No, it's actually science. Very little. And it's delightful. There's so much about the serial. I really love the end. I love just, like, watching people have fun. It's the same as watching people eat. I'm like, yeah, just let them be happy and hang out. That's what I want. I want to watch them just watching a game and goofing off.
Again, like I said, the serial's full of that. Full of just those little moments.
And also, it's on my birthday.
You made me think again about, like, this episode, like, has a very different tone than the other The Doctor Meets the Devil episode, which is, like, The Satan Pit and Impossible Planet, which kind of, like, which is sort of interesting. And I forget if they mention the daemons in The Satan Pit. I think that they do. Like, The Doctor does that thing again of, like, there's always horned beasts, like, throughout time. Maybe it means something. It's like, I thought it meant the daemons.
They should bring back the daemons. And just have the goat guy be played by Matt Damon.
Or Damon Wayans.
Ooh. One of them plays the goat guy, and the other one plays the statue. I think I want Matt Damon to be the statue with his tongue sticking out.
I do too.
Like, he's in full make, like, full, like, a full outfit. You don't even know that it's Matt Damon. There's no clues that it's Matt Damon, but it's Matt Damon. But, I really liked it. I thought it was good. I really liked Hawthorne a lot. She was fun. The design of that one square was really cool. There's a lot of cool things. Like, I liked the heat barrier idea, and I liked...
I'm enamored by the heat barrier idea.
It's really cool.
Because I really just want to spend an entire day chucking things into it.
I just wanted one guy to forget that it was there and accidentally drive through it. Like, oh shit, I forgot! That's what I really wanted. I liked Benton, and I even liked Yates. I don't know why I feel, like, so negative about Yates. Yates is okay. I just feel like he's not as good as Benton.
He's like Benton the second one. He is also there.
Part of it's, like, they try to give him a more active role. They definitely, like, he was written on the show to be the kind of Ian or Steven. I feel like they want him to be Ian or Steven, but more often than not, he ends up kind of Ben. I feel like if there's going to be a unit person that says something kind of like, women... It's usually Yates more than it is Ben.
Yeah, that's the one thing I dislike about the serial is the treatment of Joe. And even the way Joe is written. Or maybe even maybe a little bit acted. Again, that terrible line at the end is just the worst.
Well, she's playing what she's been given.
I just don't like the way they made her very childlike in a weird, gross way. I like the feel of this episode. How it does sort of feel like the RTD Christmas episodes. This sort of... Just taking this holiday and poking fun at it a little bit. And, like, you know, tying the Doctor up to the maypole is amazing. The Doctor pretending to be a wizard is great.
When the Morris dancers start, like, coming after the Doctor, there's definitely shades of, like, the Santas coming after people in the RTD Christmas special.
It's great. I like it. I don't think it's better than Inferno, but it may be more fun than Inferno.
I agree. That is the best way to sum it up. Yeah, I really do think that, like... The daemons is the high that, like, RTD was chasing a lot of the time with his version of the show.
That makes a lot of sense. But yeah, I guess that's it.
That's it. We're done.
We're done.
We did it.
All right. So, Chris, anything you want to plug?
Yeah. You can see my time travel web series, Relativity, at relativitywebseries.wordpress.com. You can see me in Brains at brainswebseries.com. You can see the shorts that I wrote and Joe directed at his... website minipineapple.com, and you can see the comics that I wrote and Joe wrote from our friend Ray Friesen at thefoggiestcomic.com. And we also just wrote some more comics for a book that he's putting together called Cats Committing Crimes, and I believe that just finished a Kickstarter, and that's gonna be really great, and I'm really excited about it, and you should be too.
Yeah, it actually has gotten funded, so thanks to everyone who donated. You guys are awesome. I haven't seen the finished version yet, but I am excited to see it all come together. If you like this episode, you can check out more on WatchYourAssalon.com and be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes.
Please do. It super helps us out.
And if you leave a review, we'll probably put it on our website and tell you how awesome you are.
Because we love you.
We do so much. If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to WatchYourAssalon.com/support, and there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to Patreon.com/Watchathon. There you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like day early episodes, videos of us watching the episodes, and uncut video of the podcast records. We're waving at you right now if you're watching it. If you're not watching it, then become a patron, and then you can see us waving at you. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. Again, special thanks to Matt Golden for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. And tune in next time when we talk about Day of the Daleks with Ben Padden. And it's not only the return of Ben Padden, it's the first serial with a villain from the first and second Doctor era. It's the first one. I mean, unless you count the Time Lords, but...
What about the Zarbi?
No, I mean, like, not in, like, a hallucination. The Daleks were in that hallucination, too. This is, like, going to be the first one with an actual, like, monster from the black and white era. Taking three seasons. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Keep calm and wrestle on.
We love you.
Me too.
Chris also loves you.
And we love you, Chris.
Aw, we do.
We're a big old family.
Dancing around a maple.
You like shows, the best magic in the world after all.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek. Classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.